Hey, thanks, Cheryl. Hey, everybody. Sorry we're late. Unless my computer unplugged, and so I had to go through quite a rigmarole to get it to boot back up because it ran out of juice.
Hello, everybody. We're here. We may be late. We might not be worth it, but stay tuned. I think that's what we're going to teach on tonight. We're going to teach on our unworthiness and our guilt.
Yeah.
We feel guilty because we feel unworthy.
There you go.
So we're the perfect lesson.
We are the perfect lesson. Okay, so where we are is NTI Acts chapter 4. We have a reading to start, and interestingly, our MPP class is doing NTI right now, and I have the reading in front of me from where I was looking at it earlier today, so I'm just going to read directly from my facilitator's guide from MPP for the Bible verses.
It's being in the flow, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, I could claim that if I had been here on time.
Oh, let's feel guilty about that again.
Regina said late, but worth the wait.
Oh.
Amen. All right.
All right, who are you talking about?
All right, so here we go. But before we do that, let's just, let's catch our breath. Our breath. Catch our breath. And acknowledge what we're here for, and that is just to hear the wisdom. And let the wisdom of the words that have been written here be seen by all of us. And I invite Holy Spirit to be in this hour with us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Connie's being silly. I think you're supposed to say amen, not hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. All right.
Okay. Easily confused. My unworthiness and my guilt.
Okay, so here we are. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. And again, this is Acts chapter 4 from the Bible.
What is a Sadducee?
Regina, what's a Sadducees? They're like, they're the important people in this religion thing.
Oh, okay.
So anywho, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000.
Wow.
The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame," because remember, this is right after they healed the lame guy at the temple, beautiful. He said, "Get up and walk," and the guy did. "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everyone in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old.
And that's a long time.
In those days, 40 old, yeah. Okay. So, let's look at NTI. It says, I have told four that you will be tempted to deny your guidance.
We're on page 219, Acts chapter 4.
Excuse me.
Take that.
Tom was making a lot of noise in the kitchen there. So, I had told you before that you will be tempted to deny your guidance, and I have told you where this temptation will come from. It is resistance born of a sense of unworthiness. I have also told you where this sense of unworthiness comes from. It is born of guilt, born of the belief that you have stolen yourself from God. Here lies another contradiction that you must look at slowly and carefully. You believe you have stolen yourself from God. That is to say, you believe you have made yourself separate from God's will. You believe it is your choice to follow God's will or your own, and you feel guilty for this choice because you believe it is a sin to have made a will that is separate from God's. Pardon me. Your guilt, born of the choice to have a separate will, leaves you feeling unworthy of God's will. And so, out of your guilt and sense of unworthiness, you deny God's will by not hearing it.
Oh, that's what's been never done.
Or by hearing it, but by not believing you are deserving to follow it.
Man, oh man. Well, thank you, folks. I think this has been a powerful lesson. We'll see you next week.
Yeah. Connie, you're so silly. Yeah. So our guilt is born of our choice to have a separate will. And because we feel guilty, we then feel unworthy to hear the guidance that we could otherwise hear.
Yeah. So our resistance is so strong.
Right.
Because we're unworthy.
Because we feel unworthy.
Because we feel unworthy.
You speak for yourself. Because we feel unworthy, and then the second thing was, so we think we can't hear. So we either deny that we can hear it, which we can, which everyone has access to. Regina seems an extreme case because we got however many pages. We looked at that last week, 500 pages here, that's where she heard very clearly. And wrote it down. But everyone can hear inner wisdom equally. What we do, the reason we sometimes don't seem to be able to hear it is because we deny that we hear it. You know,
and we deny we hear it because we don't feel like we're worthy.
That's right. And you know,
it's not worth putting the effort in for. And I know that. I know that's to be true because, sometimes I don't always keep up with what's our other class?
General healing.
And I know from our readings in NDI that simply is I'm not feeling worthy. not worth. I'm not worth the effort of the effort that it would take to get this.
Mm. Yes.
And that is real subtle, and you know, not on the surface, because on the surface I would say, this is a jewel,
right?
But there's an unconscious or subconscious thing going on there that's with this unworthiness that
shows up as resistance.
That shows up resistance and apparently stems from guilt.
Right. From the guilt that you're not following God's will, that you've stolen your will from God. For the guilt for the choice that you've made. Right. So we deny that we can hear it, hear guidance. Or, even if we hear it, we believe that we're unworthy to follow it. That's what we've just read.
Boy, we're screwed.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. Read on. Hold on, folks. The good news is coming.
There are several things you must look at here. This is the top of page 220. First, you do have the desire to know and follow God's will.
Thank you.
Hold that up as a beacon. And again, if you're reading NTI, if you're participating in this hour, right, if you're teaching NTI every week, you do have the desire to hear and follow God's will.
Hallelujah. Really.
Hold that up as a beacon. That is your willingness. Let it guide you to your true heart's desire. Because you think you desire to follow the will, but this is your true desire. And the proof of it is what we're doing right here, you know, is we are taking the time and you know, in this class, in general healing class, and all of these things that we do, that's all proof of our willingness. So look and see that as willingness and hold that. And when you're questioning your commitment, when you're questioning your desire, just turn to that and look at that and know that that's your true heart's desire, and everything else is smoke and mirrors.
Thank you.
Secondly, okay, so that's the first thing we know, we've got to look at. You do have the desire to know and follow God's will. Second, this is sentence number 17. Secondly, the feeling that seems to be an obstacle to knowing and following God's will is the belief that you are unworthy of God's will. This is like a crafty trick. It's a loop that keeps you trapped within an illusion of yourself. And here the loop is explained. You think you're guilty because you want to serve a will other than God's. And your true desire is to serve God's will, but your sense of unworthiness is an obstacle to that desire. Do you see the loop in which you are snared? Can you see how your own belief in your guilt and unworthiness seems to lead you onto the path of increased guilt and additional unworthiness, which is what you were talking about a moment ago? You feel guilty, and so you have this resistance, and so you don't do your lessons. You don't do them perfectly. You don't do them as often as you'd like. You don't do them as deeply as you'd like, and you just feel worse and worse and worse and worse, right?
All of a sudden, you're not doing it at all.
Because you're not worthy, right? I mean, that's what we go through.
Low life.
So he says, this is why I've come to help you look at the upside down reasoning within the mind that keeps you feeling trapped, and also to help you see that you are not trapped, because you can lay down this reasoning that makes no sense. When you lay it down and put it aside, you are free to know the reasoning of the Holy Spirit, which is right reasoning and is joy. So the thing is if you'd totally chosen to follow a different will and had no desire to hear the will and follow the will of God, you wouldn't have a problem. I mean, you would. You'd have a big problem. But, I mean, you wouldn't be feeling guilty about not doing your lessons or not, not doing them as well as you'd like, right? It's your true desire to follow God's will that makes you feel guilty, right? In a sense. And I'm just trying to say, if you didn't have that true, if your true desire were not to follow God, then you wouldn't be feeling guilty about not following God. Yeah. So it's a loop, and there are several of these loops.
Explain that really well.
Thank you. I had a little help because, again, I studied this for MPP, right? But there are several of these loops identified in NTI, in different places in NTI, where, you know, ego's got you coming and going. I mean, if you're listening to ego, you're going to be damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Right. The only release is...
is stepping out of the loop and going, wait. I must desire to follow God, or I wouldn't be feeling guilty about it. You know, it's to turn that reasoning back to right reasoning, the right reasoning of the Holy Spirit. Cool. And that's what he says here. He says, I've come here to show you how upside down this reasoning is, and that's the reasoning that keeps you trapped, and to tell you you're not trapped. Just see your true desire. That's it. And, you know, I know in Hebrews it says, when you remember to practice. Yay, and be glad for it. You know, just when you remember to follow it. If you didn't follow it yesterday, that's fine. If you didn't follow it earlier today, that's fine. When you remember to follow, to do your lesson, to follow the teachings, to turn and ask for guidance, rejoice.
Yeah, and let go of that circular reasoning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I can't really do it now because I didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah.
What? Right?
Yeah.
And it looks like Cheryl says, this section is the whole course, A Course in Miracles, that is. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I think you're right, Cheryl. I mean, it is the Big Bang. It is the initial separation. It is staying away and not being able to find your way back because you're caught up in the loop.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Okay. So bottom page 220, sentence 27. It says, remember this story of Peter and John as a symbol to help you hold on to your willingness. Know that as they listened to pleas to lay down their purpose, there were doubts, echoes, you know, and what you are. You know, you're not teachers. You're just, you know, last week you were fishermen or last year or whatever it was, right? You know, you're not. So those, what this is saying, those doubt thoughts were in their minds as well. Who do you think you are? Don't you know what the laws are? And so it was very clear here in the Bible story, it said Peter let the Holy, somebody let the Holy Spirit speak through them. Who was Peter?
Yeah.
Let the Holy Spirit speak through them. Yeah. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, you know, we are authorized to teach. All we can, you can tell us not to teach, but all we can do is share what we've seen and what we've heard. So, but this is telling, you know, this Holy Spirit telling Regina and telling us that, you know, they had doubts in their mind too, but they didn't go with the doubt thoughts. They listened to the Holy Spirit, and they allowed the Holy Spirit to think, to speak through them, and they followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which was to teach in spite of the law, in spite of the resistance, in spite of their lack of teaching skills or whatever, right?
Yeah, and that also points out in a gentle healing class, which was quite simple lesson that Regina had taught, you know, when you recognize something as the Holy Spirit, That in itself is enough to say, that's not the path I'm going to follow.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if I recognize this as the Holy Spirit, okay, here's my path, which will be the polar opposite.
Yeah.
And to take that path immediately and just give up the other.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a barometer. Oh. That sounds like the ego. Oh, then this must be my path.
Right. And you know what became realized to me at some point was I would call it the choice point, where you reach the fork in the road. you know, there was a period in my past where, you know, when you're first doing this, it seems automatic. Well, he said something to me, so of course I said something back, right, or whatever, right? It all seems very automatic. And what I noticed was, particularly early on in the path, was that things seemed to slow down a little bit with my willingness, so that I could see, oh no, really, I have a choice. I don't have to, you know, do the knee-jerk thing and automatically jump back down his throat, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're not the teenage drama queen caught up in the drama anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're seeing the unreality of this, and you're going, wait a minute.
Yeah, I don't have to make that choice. Just because I've made it every time that this has ever happened to me before,
exactly.
There is another choice.
Yeah.
So to see the choice point is the grace.
Exactly.
To see the choice point is a result of your willingness to know that there's got to be a better way. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's see. I just want to make a point here about, in back up in chapter, sentence 26. Let me just read. I want to read that paragraph again, so I'm skipping back up, y'all. I'm sorry. This is why I have come, to help you look at the upside down reasoning within the mind that keeps you feeling trapped, and also to help you see that you are not trapped, because you can lay down this reasoning that makes no sense, and that's that choice point we were just talking about. You know, I don't have to do what I've done before. When you lay it down and put it aside, you are free to know the reasoning of the Holy Spirit, which is right reasoning and is joy. So that's that very point we were just talking about. When you begin to see there's another way, there's another possibility, there's another voice I can listen to, then you've turned from your unworthiness and guilt and towards your willingness.
Right, and we're back on the right column on the page.
Right.
We're back with the choice between the only two thought systems there are, which is the thought system of the ego or the thought system of the Holy Spirit. And have just made the right choice.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So remember the story of Peter and John as a symbol to help you hold on to your willingness. Know that as they listen to the pleas, and that's the pleas of the Sanhedrin and all the important religious guys, right? Know that as they listen to pleas to lay down their purpose, there were doubts in their minds that seemed to echo the reasoning of the pleas. They were simple men, and they seemed to be taking on the history of the world with the new message that they taught, which is, of course, exactly what we're just talking about, what we're doing, right? Taking on the history of the world as we know it. But I've always responded this way. Everybody knows if you're a doormat, you're going to get taken, blah, 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 all that history that's built up. You seem to be taking that on when you offer your willingness to see this in a new way and to listen to
it. I appreciate your explanation. I'm not sure I would have understood history in that light, but that's exactly what they're talking about.
Cool. But know also that they did not listen to their doubts, their fears, or their own sense of unworthiness. They trusted their message as the message of the Holy Spirit and the one will of God. In following this trust, they gave themselves permission to do God's will, which was their heart's only true. So, you know, it's really rejecting the old ways and turning to hear a new voice and then trusting what you hear. Because that has all of the power of the Holy Spirit, of God, of the universe behind it. So it's not like little me against the world, right? It's like truth.
Remember this symbol. You are worthy of God's will for you. You are worthy of the voice for God and all that it will share with you. When doubt enters your mind, born of unworthiness and guilt, lay it aside. It is the loop you do not want. It is the loop that hides the truth from you. So when you're at that choice point, you can hear ego going, oh, come on, who are you kidding? You better just go back to bed or, you know, go smoke another joint or whatever ego tells you to do. Or you can reject that voice and move forward, and that takes you out of that loop of unworthiness and guilt.
You know, you could go just lay back down in bed. You could just go smoke a joint. You could just, well, I mean, whatever you do, go watch drink. Whatever it is that you do, watch TV, something a lot less radical than what it was. But
you're younger than I am.
But that keeps you in the loop. And the way out of the loop is to listen, is to reject those old choices, listen for guidance, and trust what you hear. And trust that you can hear.
Yeah, and I'm sure that hearing, and I know this to be true, that any little taste of it gives you more when you acknowledge, yeah, I believe I heard something there. And the next hearing is a little easier.
Yeah, I remember I remember when I was really working with that issue of, you know, gosh, can I hear? Learning to trust that. And just having a real issue out with taxes. Filing in Colorado and Kentucky and then Indiana, I think. I was trying to file in three states or whatever. And I couldn't make up my mind what I wanted to do or how I wanted to do it. And Regina asked me, well, you know, did you ask? Did you inquire within about it? Did you seek guidance? Yes. Did you hear guidance? Well, I think so. Well, then go with that. Because, you know, it's more important. It's most important when you're learning to hear guidance to trust what you hear. Because that trust will bring you more guidance.
Yeah. Act as if. And it will come to you.
Yeah. Don't keep going, I don't know, I'm not sure I heard anything.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to do anything. I'm going to turn on the TV.
Right. That keeps you trapped in the loop.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, indecision keeps you locked in. Because, you know, really that's what the ego is. It's Kathy says indecision. The ego is the confused mind, you know. The ego is the one believing all the confused thoughts.
And the Holy Spirit is the clarity.
Yeah, exactly. So, act with clarity. Ask and then trust that you've been given the answer.
Yes. That's right. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, this is page 221, verses, we're still in Acts 4, I think, yeah, Acts 4, verses 23 through 31. I have also told you not to be confused by what you hear, see, and experience within the world. Everything is applicable to the purpose the Holy Spirit has set forth. Everything can be used as salvation of God's one holy Son.
Everything, if we allow it, has to do with our spiritual unfoldment.
Well, yeah, and even more, everything has to do with our spiritual unfoldment. And the allowance only comes in as whether I'm going to recognize it as such.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. It has to do with it. Your recognition of it is the allowance.
Yeah, exactly. When the form of what you see or hear or experience confuses you, remember to pray to me. Remember that what you look upon confuses you only because you believe in separate wills. If you knew that there was only one will, you could not be confused. You know, and we do get confused because we're looking at things with ego's reasoning. Well, that wasn't fair. He only studied for 6 months and became enlightened. I've been working on it for 25 years, right? I mean that's just the type of ego reasoning, quote unquote reasoning that comes into this sort of thing. If you're trying to, if you ask for guidance and then Holy Spirit says, well, you know, you need to do, your next step is, and you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. The one who says, well, that doesn't make sense. The one who's confused by the guidance is the personal self, is the belief in a separate will. And from a separate will standpoint, very often the guidance will not seem to make sense. So that setting aside that confusion or indecision, as we were just talking about, is part of listening to guidance and trusting that guidance. Right?
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
What's on your screen?
my computer sending me silly messages. Okay. That's when trust is needed. Please kick in. Kathy says. Okay. Let's see. Remember also that whenever you look at the world with the ego's upside down reasoning, you cannot see clearly. Be willing to deny what you see and trust that there must be another way to understand the situation you look upon.
And for me, that's key. That's really key. To know that there's a different, and it's just knowing that there's a different way to look this. It's, you know, it's the whole reason the course was written is yeah, when I'm feeling confused or when I'm feeling alone or feeling guilty or any of those barometers, I can say, now there's a different way of looking at this. The Holy Spirit has that way. And from there, you know, you can flip open the course, you can flip open NTI, you can sit and pray, you can and the answer's there.
All ways of seeking inner guidance.
Yes, by just realizing that there is that confusion, that there is that lack of clarity.
And because this is confusing me, I'm clearly not seeing it from a truth standpoint. I'm seeing it through ego's vision.
Exactly.
Which is confusion.
Right.
Which is again, built on that base of separateness.
Yes.
Yeah, again, be willing to deny what you see and trust that there must be another way to understand the situation you look upon. Pray then in this way. O Father, I have come to you now in humility and gratitude. I am humble because I realize that I do not know how to see. I cannot see the Holy Spirit's plan, and so I do not know what I look upon. But I also come in gratitude because I trust that the Holy Spirit does know and the plan is safe with Him as the overseer of all things. Amen. And really, you know, lately is surrender, your will, not mine. And for me, this paragraph says the same thing. You know, I don't see how this makes sense, but I know that you have a plan, Holy Spirit, and I'm grateful for that plan, and I trust that you know what's going on and how to get there, and I turn it over to you.
Right. So you have to drop that doubt.
Right.
You have to drop that doubt and drop into the trust and the gratitude.
Right. And, you know, I've been thinking about, along with Debbie, that book I need. Debbie, if you're here, I need it to get it back from you. The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. You know, and there's several points in the book where he encountered some really... difficult situations where the guidance seemed to be to do one thing, but that made no sense with what was going on in the world. Nonetheless, he was very clear on the guidance, and you know, and everything turned out wonderfully in the end. I mean, but again, if we receive guidance that doesn't seem to make sense, it's because we're looking at it with the separate mind, with the separate will, and so we have to turn to that guidance and just be grateful that we've gotten the guidance and trust in that. I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah, because that separate will is not who we are.
It's, yeah, and, you know, there's a base to this. If every thought, you know, every thought that proceeds from a separate will is going to be not truth.
Right.
Right? So it's going to lead you in the direction of not truth. It's designed to build and maintain the separate self. Holy Spirit's plan, if you will, on the other hand, is about bringing you back to realization of your unity with everything.
Right. So it's kind of like to the truth of who you are is the inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And the falsity of who you are would be the exclusion. So that is, you know, for me, that's another good barometer.
Well, like Holy Spirit might guide you to do something like quit your job for life. You know, lose your house, your prestige, I mean, all of that, right? And that will absolutely not make sense to the ego thought system that is built on a separate will.
On a will that says, you know, in life, I'm supposed to make as much money as possible. I'm supposed to do well for me and my family.
Prepare for my retirement.
Yeah. Those things, that kind of separateness, as opposed to the truth of who you are, which is a part of all of the universe.
Right.
Has nothing to do with this separate human being, Jacqueline.
Yeah, right. So the guidance is, you know, no, go wake up to who you are.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. And that's
please
always been the job.
Go wake up to who you are, right?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And thank you for doing that, by the way.
Oh, shoot. Okay, so here we are. Let's see. So you pray the prayer. Then give yourself to your Father's will, offering that you may be used for the purpose of healing without the desire to judge. And again, it's one mind. It's the healing of the one mind. So it's not like what's best for me and what I've determined in my job, my retirement, my little, you know, my little plan I've got, right? It's give yourself to your Father's will, offering that you may be used for the purpose of healing without the desire to judge. There's only one mind, right, that is awakening unto itself. So by offering what I believe is my separate will, by ridding myself, if you will, it's not the right term, but of my separate will and offering myself up to the one will, I join in the purpose of the awakening of the one mind. Simple. Hallelujah. Okay. This is to lay yourself aside and to do your part in your Father's plan. This is God's will for you. This is how you can be useful to the whole. To give of yourself is to give as you are asked to give without judgment. Whenever you notice guilt within your mind, you have judged. And so you are not listening with full desire to only be useful. That's really sweet. You talk about surrender. And I certainly know you heard Regina tell the story about on her Disney cruise how she fell to her knees and prayed just to be useful. That was her prayer. She just wanted to be useful. And that's, you know, you talk about surrender. That's what's being said here. It's actually talking about the opposite of that, guilt. Whenever you notice guilt within your mind, you have judged, and so you are not listening with full desire to only be useful. Full desire to only be useful is surrender. So I'm going to write that right here.
Right, and what we were talking about before was that sentence number 18. This is how you can be useful to the whole. Mm-hmm. Because who you are in essence is not this individual. It is the whole.
The one true self.
The one true self. Holiness is wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. You are also asking that you may decide if you're in guilt. So when you notice guilt within your mind, know that you're not in surrender, that you're not in, you're not serving your heart's true desire to only be useful. So if you're in guilt, you are also asking that you may decide what is right and what is wrong. If you're making a judgment, you're asking that you decide what is right and what is wrong. I mean, because otherwise you're loving what is, right?
Yeah.
Whenever you notice guilt within your mind, you have judged. You are also asking that you may decide what is right and what is wrong, which means you are asking that you may exercise a will of your own. Do not let this realization upset you. Indeed, you may laugh when you find it within yourself. It is nothing more than another ploy of the desire to hide your true desire from you. And you've got to remember, we feel guilty because we believe that we've stolen ourselves from God, right? And then we get stuck in the loop where we're only serving, if you're judging, you're only serving that self-will. So when you see that, do not let this realization upset you. Indeed, you may laugh when you find it within yourself. It is nothing more than another ploy of the desire to hide your true desire from you. It is another loop that leads you nowhere. It is another opportunity to remind yourself that you do not know the plan, and therefore you cannot judge.
Great. And really. And he says, be happy. Yeah.
Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy. You are only asked to do what you are asked to do. If you do all that you are asked, you have done enough. And this is, you know, this is, again, in that response to that temptation to feel guilty.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're tempted to feel guilty, don't. Be happy. You are only asked to do what you are asked to do. If you do all that you are asked, you have done enough. There is nothing more to give, having given everything that you have been asked to give. Give in joy, knowing it is your true will to give. Let go of guilt, knowing it is just the illusion of an illusory will. You know, you're fighting paper tigers, right? I mean, it's all made up anyway. And as you hear the guilt, oh, you really should have prayed more last week. You know, you're just building up that illusion.
Yeah. I remember having that experience when I met the Doles. Remember the book they wrote?
Paul and Candace Doyle?
Yes.
David Paul and Candace Doyle.
Yeah, and they were so fantastic. And I just, you know, I was so inspired after meeting them. I just, you know, I wanted to do more. I wanted to give more. And all of a sudden, I mean, my ego just kicked in, and now I was guilty for not doing more and giving more. But I, you know, I was caught up in the joy, but I was so untrained that I just fell down into the guilt. I'm, you know, it took some hindsight to see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So, give in joy, knowing it is your true will to give. Let go of guilt, knowing it is just the illusion of an illusory will. For any will that seems separate from God's will must be an illusion. For you do know that your true will is always the same as His. So, you know, if you fall into confusion, just recognize it as confusion. You know, you don't
recognize it as, yeah, recognize it as a barometer to step out of the loop.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's that choice point that we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kathy, she is officially being used. Thank God. All right. So, wow, time has flown tonight, hasn't it?
There you go.
But we've got a few minutes left, so we'll go right into Acts chapter 5. And once again, let's see if I got this in front of me. Yes, we do. Verses 1 through 11, and I want to read it right here from my MPP manual. Ananias and Sapphira. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Kept some of the money for himself. So giving it all to the apostles. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died.
Oh, my.
And great fear seized all who heard what had happened.
I bet.
Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me."
Uh-oh. Watch out.
"Is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that's the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also."
Oh, man.
At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died.
Oh, me.
Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church.
I guess so.
And all who heard and all who heard about these events. So
well, as you can see, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of this.
Let's NTI Acts chapter 5, page 222. This story is symbolic and is not to be taken literally.
Chewy.
This story is a picture of the guilt that you have claimed and projected onto the world.
I knew it.
This story has no meaning except that it is untrue. And it is important that you see it as untrue for you also. An obstacle to hearing the Holy Spirit is your own sense of guilt and unworthiness. This story demonstrates just how guilty you believe you are.
Exactly.
Notice that Ananias and his wife dropped dead from their guilt. Imagine the magnitude of the guilt that seemed to be within them.
Really?
But what crime did this couple commit? They sold land that belonged to them and gave a portion of the money that they made to the apostles of their own free will. Could this be called a crime? Even within your world, this could not be called a crime. To give in this way is generosity. So what was their crime? This story seems to say that the crime this couple committed is the crime of not being honest with God. It is the crime of hiding something from God. For yourself, it is this, because it is this that you think you have done. It is this for which you feel guilty, and it is this guilt that seems to bring on your death. We will talk about this guilt slowly and carefully, that you may look at this belief deeply and with right reason, so you may choose to release a belief that you do not need to keep. First, we must discuss what God is. I have told you that God is life, and that life is eternal. Since you accept that God is eternal and God gives life, this may not be difficult for you to accept. So, let's take this thought another step. God is life, and you live. So life must be within you. This means that God is within you also. Now, I'm going to read on, but let's just be clear here about the correlation to the story, because, the couple, the reason this story is troubling, the couple seems to have committed the crime of hiding something from God, of keeping something for ourselves. This, again, is the source of our guilt and our unworthiness that keeps us in this loop where we feel too unworthy.
Sure,
to
it
get.
Sure feels like that loop. It feels like an unreasonable loop. I mean, they gave all this money.
And then dropped dead because they didn't
give it all. Dropped dead because they didn't give every last penny.
Right.
But the sin is their dishonesty to themselves and to God.
Well, and the parallel is that they felt guilty.
Right.
They felt guilty because they felt that they had kept something hidden from God.
Right.
That they had kept something for themselves, separate and apart from God. And there's the parallel to us. We think that we are separate from God,
And we think that we're guilty.
And we have something to teach of it, right?
And we think that we're guilty for having done that.
Right.
So that's the parallel. And so this is saying, hold on a minute. You agree that God is life, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. You live, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So life must be within you, right?
That's logical.
So that means God's within you, right?
Hey, yeah.
Okay, good. So you're not separate and apart from God.
No.
Because God is life.
Right.
And life is within you.
Right.
So that means God is within you.
Yes.
That's not separate.
That's inclusive.
Yes.
Okay.
At this point, you may feel a temptation to pull away from my logic, but please do not pull away just yet. Let's examine why you want to pull away and look at that closely. God is within you. This is a thought that you are tempted to reject. The reason you want to reject this thought is because you believe that God is good, but you, you're guilty. It says, you believe that God is good, but you are guilty. Therefore, you determine that God cannot be in you, and you must be separate from God.
You're in another loop, doesn't it?
Well, it's the same one. Yeah, it's the same loop, right? So Holy Spirit's going to remind us this again, and he just told us a minute ago. If God is life, which you have accepted, and you are separate from God, then it must be you're separate from life, and that is death. That is why death seems to rule your world, is because you believe that your guilt keeps you separate from God. But we've just disproven that with this syllogism up here. God is life and you live. Life must be within you. This means that God is within you. But what we subscribe to is the belief that we are in fact separate from God. God is life. Separate from God would have to be death. And that's why death rules our world. That's the whole...
Yeah, they believed it and dropped dead.
And that's what we do. We believe it and we drop dead. We believe in death. We believe, you know, we live in fear of death. We believe that if we don't have our retirement, everything right in order, that we're going to die an untimely death, right? I mean, this whole world is built on this, because this whole world is built on separation. Yeah, and Kathy says little deaths all along the way. Yeah. But can you not see that this is another loop, that just like Connie said, this is another loop of reasoning that does not make sense? For right now, you do live. Right now, as you sit reading this, you live. So right now, you cannot be separate from God. Right now, God is in you and you are in God. There is no separation. Right now, your oneness with God is complete, and there is nothing that is hidden or not in accordance with your oneness. You're not separate. Show me. Prove it. Right? Right now, everything is perfect because everything is God. What is it that you must do? You must release your guilt. There is no reason to hide it, for there is no judge to hide it from. God is life, and he's given his gift to you, and you are living it. No crime has been committed because you live. It is only the belief that you have committed a crime that must be healed. This belief is healed by bringing your guilt into the light and finding that you are not judged.
Yeah, to being in that present moment.
Released into the light, there is no guilt, for God has witnessed no crime. You haven't done anything. You've been punishing yourself over and over and over and over for separating from God. God's going, what do you mean separate?
Yeah, and if you would just be in this present moment, the right nowness.
But this is the awareness. You know, this is the awareness that animates us. This is, you know, it's called life here, but it's exactly this consciousness. This the life that animates us is God. How can I be separate from that? It's impossible.
Yeah, it has to be a mind screw.
Yeah. So what you have to do is recognize that guilt, as the belief in separation, and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm just giving up the guilt part of this, right? I do not have to believe that I am guilty for believing I'm separate, because I don't have to believe I'm separate, because I have proof right here, this moment, this minute, breath in, breath out, that I am not separate from God. God is life. Look, breathe in, breathe out.
We're one. I'm everything. All is right with the world.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
Great teaching. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And it looks like we're out of time. So I'm gonna mark this right here. I'm gonna say, as always, guys, we love you. We so appreciate your being willing to share this time with us, being on this path with us. And we'll see you next week, honey.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline. It was a delightful evening. Thank you so much for your insights.
Same to you. Bye, everybody. We love you.
Bye.